The Sports Illustrated Media Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football, with more winners and more payouts than any other site. Enter promo code media at FanDuel.com to play a risk-free tournament for up to $10. We're also sponsored by the SeatGeek app, the smartest way to buy sell tickets for your favorite sports teams. Download the SeatGeek app and enter our code media for $20 off your first purchase.
Fact. Getting a concussion is as close to time travel as modern medical science can get us right now. So I do the MMBM column every morning on every Monday morning. I drank a Mickey's 40 ounce and I'm like three quarters of the way through an Old English right now. My first question for you is, why do you hate Skip Bayless?
Well, you know, I'm usually not used to being interviewed on my podcast, but I'm happy to answer that.
Listen, I don't want to get into the HGH scandal because Phil Nance has already agreed that, you know, he's not going to say anything about it.
Was that Phil? Did you say Phil Nance?
Phil Sims and Jim Nance.
Right. I like how you combined the two. Right. They are the same person sometimes. Welcome to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast, where each week we talk to a member of the sports media. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Bette Marston. And this week, our guest is PFT commenter, an NFL contributor, as well as the chief political correspondent for SB Nation. He also hosts the Steam Room on Opie Radio for Sirius XM. Very excited to have PFT commenter here with us in the podcast. And, you know, I thought about this because PFT commenter is a satirist, and ideally I really wanted to have him on as who he really is. And I do know his identity, not going to reveal it. But as we talked prior to the podcast, he did not want to break the PFT commenter aura. And in the end, I think that was the right call. I think it's a much better interview, or will be a much better interview, if he is who he is, both in print and when he does podcasting. Although it'd be obviously really fascinating if he broke character and explained just how he's able to keep this up, how people react to him. Sports and satire are very, very hard to do. When we talked to Katie Nolan a couple of months ago on the podcast, she talked about that. It's really, really hard. And PFT commenter and Katie Nolan are two people who actually do it very successfully. So it is tough. Humor and sports is tough. A lot of people in sports media who think they're funny, there are not a lot of people in the sports media who are funny, and certainly funny on a consistent basis. So I tip my hat to PFT commenter because he has been able to pull this off for quite some time. Lord knows how he makes money, though, Bette Marston. I'd love to find that out. All right, listen, thank you very much for listening to the previous podcasts that we've done. Last couple, Sage Steele, she was terrific. Bob McKenzie of TSN. Gus Johnson was fantastic. Still love his Al Harrington story. Last week was Jimmy Traina for some sports media talk, and Chris Haynes of Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Chris covers the Cavs and not only talked about covering LeBron James, but the incident where he was racially profiled and eventually exonerated from some charges that were dropped on him in Portland. That was a podcast I really enjoyed because it was incredibly honest, and Chris talked about just really interesting things about being a beat writer in the NBA, race in the NBA. So if you haven't caught that one, I would really highly recommend that. Obviously, I've liked them all in my position, but that was really good. You know, sometimes you just know when you talk to somebody and it's an honest, no bullshit conversation. And that's really why I enjoyed Chris Haynes. Okay, and as promised, from somewhere in this great, beautiful country of ours, we welcome PFT commenter to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. Should I be referring to you as PFT, PFT commenter? How would one address you for a formal interview?
You can call me anything you want, man. I've been called a lot worse than anything you can come up with. I think PFT would be fine. If you want to call me Wayne, that's okay too. you know, just whatever helps you get your takes out the fastest.
I appreciate that. I like PFT because that feels like that rolls off the tongue. So let's go with PFT. All right, PFT, as briefly as you can, how did you get started in this media business of ours?
Well, like a lot of people that are writing on the internet these days, I got started in the Pro Football Talk comment section. Some other people that have come from that same background have been like your Jason Whitlocks, your Drew McGarry's, your Pete Prisco's. And so we were internet commenters first and foremost, and we signed an oath pledging allegiance to make sure that we always stay true to delivering the strongest takes possible, no matter how big we got. And so I started commenting on Pro Football Talk back in, I think it was 2000, 2001. My claim to fame is I'm best known for accurately predicting that Michael Vick was going to start a dogfighting operation before he was even drafted into the NFL. So I got started there, and then one thing led to another. My takes were pretty strong, and next thing you know, I'm writing for Kissing Susie Colbert and SB Nation.
It's an impressive Pete Prisco and Jason Whitlock. Those names don't really ring a bell to me, but I don't read a lot of football, so that maybe that's on me. I will ask: is there a war on football right now, in your opinion, PFT?
Well, let me answer that question with a question. I presume that you're talking about like all the concussion stuff and all the, you know, medical quackery going on out there about CTE. Have you ever had a concussion, Rich?
I have not had a concussion.
Well, then how can you say that a concussion's bad if you've never had one?
That's very hard for me to argue with you. I think the only way I would say it's bad is just from talking to people who've had one and probably from reading about it.
Well, I've had a concussion before, and I think that the real scandal here is there are a ton of medical uses for concussions, and the FDA won't get off its ass and let us explore those and let doctors study it. Fact, getting a concussion is as close to time travel as modern medical science can get us right now. So like getting knocked out and then waking up hours later can actually be used to treat people who are suffering from acute pain or hangovers or post-concussion syndrome. So they just get knocked out and they wake up later and they feel much better because their body has had time to recoup. I think that's where the real scandal is, that we aren't exploring medical uses for concussions. We're just looking at it like it's evil. And I think that that's a terrible way to look at it. I've had a concussion probably three or four times when I was playing high school football, and I turned out just fine. I mean, I coach youth football right now, and my kids don't complain if they get their bell rung because I think that this generation is lacking a little bit of toughness. So I'm trying to remedy that.
How often when you're coaching this youth football do you use words like jacked up and some other stuff?
Well, okay, so I'm kind of on the hot seat on my football team. I don't know if you're familiar with Pop Warner, but it's a lot of politics. And, you know, it's kind of like almost reverse nepotism because I don't have a son that's on the team, they don't want to let me coach too much anymore. Here's what I do. I make them earn their helmets. You know, like you always hear about, okay, you're going to earn the star on the side of your helmet if you want to be a Dallas Cowboy. I'm like, well, son, you better earn your helmet or else, you know, you're just going to be ducking your head into people. So that adds a little bit of motivation to the kids that are playing. You know, it makes them want to be safer. So I feel like that's the best way. Like, prove it to me that you want to be safe. And then we can talk about giving you some protective equipment.
All right, let's move this back to the media. You do a MMBM column every Monday. It strikes me that's very similar to a column that one of my colleagues does, but maybe not. Maybe that's just a coincidence. How long does it take you to do your MMBM column, PFT?
So I do the MMBM column every morning on – every Monday morning. I'm sorry. I drank a Mickey's 40-ounce, and I'm like three-quarters of the way through in Old English right now. I do the MMBM – every Monday morning. It usually goes, so it's called the MMBM, stands for Monday Morning Bowel Movement, right? Peter King does the Monday Morning Quarterback. The MMBM actually is more like the Monday Afternoon BM. because I usually don't get it done until about like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But that's just because I take a lot of time to make sure I get all my facts right and my sources are in order. It typically takes me anywhere between 6 and 8 hours to write it. It's usually between 2,000 and 3,000 words. And it takes me that long because, like all other diehard NFL fans, I spend most days on Saturdays, you know, like probably between a 0.18 and a 0.24 BAC. So I've got to get rid of the hangover. Then I've got to start typing, and you know, it's quite a process getting that done. It was kind of conceived as you could say like the stinking man's alternative to what Peter King does on Monday morning, right? So King's got his ear to the ground, but his takes are really weak and a little bit measured. It's like King's out there offering reasons why Chip Kelly is both good and bad, and he won't commit to either way. But I'm out here saying that, you know, the Eagles are violating anti-racist laws, as I understand them, by firing Chip Kelly. So, like, which column would you rather read, one that makes you think or one that makes you feel? And so I try to just make people feel things in my MMBM.
I'm going to have to ponder that one. I wonder, as a writer, do you see yourself more as an Ed McCaffrey type or Danny Woodhead type?
I mean, I like to compare myself to Danny Woodhead as much as possible. The guy's just a real pros pro. And I like to say that I'm a pros pro, but spelled P-R-O-S-E pro. The guy, me and him are so much alike. I don't know if you got to listen to my podcast that I do. I actually only did two of them, but it was called The Steam Room.
I've heard about that, but I have a lot of commitments on my off time, so it's been tough for me to listen.
Right. So I got a chance to interview Danny Woodhead. I've got his number in my cell phone. He's probably blocked me with his phone company by now after sending a lot of congratulations texts. Not to brag, but I've got his phone number in there anyways. But I got to interview him, and me and him are pretty much identical twins. We're the same size. We have the same heart. I will say that Ed McCaffrey has probably the most respectful and correctly performed salute. The Mile High salute that he did was way better than this slack-ass Shannon Sharp salute. Ed McCaffrey was really good at that, but he's got a son that's out there, you know, clogging up my news feed, essentially being like a big, you know, sex trophy for Ed. So I can't, you know, I can't really respect that too much. I like Danny Woodhead. He's got kids, but he keeps his kids quiet. He puts his head down. He gets to work. Danny's my role model.
I know you, again, do not like to reveal much personally about yourself, but would it be fair to ask you how old you are, what your age is?
Yeah, I can answer that. I'm 31.
Okay, you're 31 years old. So you in this sense, you certainly can relate to a Danny Woodhead as well as an Ed McCaffrey. You can float between the college game and the pro game.
I'm a tweener, yeah.
Many Fox Sports commentators say that Twitter has become a liberal echo chamber filled with crypster hipsters. Uh-huh. How does PFT stand with that assessment, that Twitter is it's nothing more than millennials going on Twitter, yelling and screaming and getting participation trophies and all this other stuff?
Well, I think that's a very fair assessment. I think that, you know, if you're looking at a Jason Whitlock, you're accusing him right now of making accusations against the youth. And I'd like to just remind you real quick that Socrates was also poisoned because he was corrupting the youth.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're talking Socrates, the philosopher, or the great Brazilian soccer player?
I'm talking about the philosopher Socrates.
Gotcha.
I actually think that, like, if you were to look at what First Take is and what Fox Sports 1 is, it's like the modern day Plato's Academy right now. And I would just say that I'd rather drink the Whitlock than the Hemlock. And I would say that Whitlock's got his finger on the pulse of the silent majority in America.
I'm going to have to think about that. And my producer, Bette Marston, is also contemplating this as well.
All right, after the craziness of last weekend's NFL wildcard games, you got to still feel for Vikings fans, an unbelievable finish against Seattle. We're all looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with the divisional playoffs. The Chiefs and the Patriots are in Foxborough, Packers, Cardinals in the desert. Got the Seahawks at the Panthers, and Peyton Manning and the Broncos hosting Ben Roethlisberger. These games are really fantastic, maybe even too good to watch on TV. No game is sold out on SeatGeek, and to get $20 back, all you have to do is download the app and use our code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A. They'll make the refund via check or PayPal. It's your choice. SeatGeek pulls all the ticket buying and selling options from other ticket sites into one place to save you time. It's like Kayak for tickets. SeatGeek also knows the fair value of every ticket. They use that information to show you the best deals and help you understand underpriced seats. If you have tickets you can't use, SeatGeek will help you sell them quickly to another fan. You can avoid any sneaky fees at the end of your purchase. SeatGeek has the lowest fees of any ticket site out there. They always show you the full price up front. So to redeem your promo code and get your $20 back, download the free SeatGeek app today. Enter promo code MEDIA in the app. SeatGeek will then send you $20 once you've made your first SeatGeek purchase. For the NFL playoffs, the NBA, and the best concerts, use the SeatGeek app and our code MEDIA to get $20 back.
Listen, we are taping this on the eve of the NFL playoffs. Is there a team out there that you have your eye on that you think really can go all the way?
I think that you don't want to play the Washington Redskins in the playoffs. I think that Kirk Cousins, by the way, I'd like to say this for the record. I was the only person who correctly predicted that RG3 was bad when he was good. And vice versa, I was the only person who correctly predicted that Kirk Cousins was good when he was bad. So I think you guys owe me like a little bit of acknowledgement and respect for that situation. I think that Kirk Cousins is the thinking man's Philip Rivers. I think that he he's bound to lead a team to greatness. And my prediction is he's going to win a Super Bowl. And then we're going to have 3 years of me asking everybody that gets within smelling distance of my body whether or not Kirk Cousins is an elite quarterback.
Wow, that's a strong take right there. All right, there's going to be a point in this interview where we ask some questions from readers who
let me jump in real
sure,
quick.
Sure, right. Go ahead, please.
I was warned not to go on your podcast because I was...
Can I ask by who? By who,
you
though?
Would ask me a bunch of gotcha questions.
Wow.
And you would try to trap me and back me into a corner.
How has it gone so far? Do you feel that I've done that?
I feel like you're being, honestly, you're being pretty soft on me as your reputation stands. You know, you don't really ask the hard questions normally, no offense. But I've got some hard questions for you.
All right, let's mix up questions for me, and then eventually I have to get into, obviously, your political coverage, because the amount of attention that your work at the GOP debates has received, I mean, you know, I feel like it's rivaling some of the great political reporters of our time, whether it's Bob Woodward or a Wolf Blitzer or an Anderson Cooper. You've clearly made your bones in this new arena. But if you need questions from me, that's fine. I'm happy to answer.
I feel like I'm a little bit better of a reporter than Bob Woodward is. It's a bit insulting that you would compare me to him, but
that's probably
I understand.
He's
that,
a little, he's also
you know,
old.
You
too.
Might not be as well read as I am, so that might be the first person that you jump to in your head. So right. I get that. My first question for you is, why do you hate Skip Bayless?
Well, you know, I'm usually not used to being interviewed on my podcast, but I'm happy to answer that. And I don't even know if it's hatred. It's just professional dislike for a guy who has essentially become a wrestling heel. Nothing more than a guy who walks into the middle of a ring, in this case it's a studio, and just yells out things that we all know are not true or correct, but done to just provoke. So I think to me, who would like to see ESPN aspire to something a little bit higher, I'm bothered by that kind of buffoonery. But my sense is from your tenor of your question that Bayless is perhaps one of your guys.
Well, so I've actually met Skip Bayless. Have you ever gotten the opportunity to meet him?
No, there's a restraining order on both of us where neither of us are allowed to be within 20 feet of each other.
There's probably one on me and pretty much everyone who works on ESPN, but I did get a chance to meet him undercover this summer. And he was as nice a guy as you could ever hope to meet. What I'm going to say to you is that it sounds like you have a little bit of an anti-take bias, which is common in the media these days, but takes have been they've been around for as long as anything else in recorded history. It's like art. So when cavemen drew pictures on a wall of a hunt, and you had the one guy off to the side wearing a headband that was going bald, looking like LeBron James, who wasn't clutch at finishing off a mammoth, that was a take. Right there. All art is takes, and it just so happens that Skip is delivering them to modern society. It's like if you want to draw a comparison to painters, with Salvador Dali, he painted all the fucked up clocks. That's no different than like Stephen A. Smith talking about Andy Reid's gay management. So to me, when you come across as attacking Skip Bayless, all I hear is take envy.
So if I'm extrapolating this, what you're saying is if I attack Skip Bayless, I'm essentially attacking art throughout civilization. So I'm anti-art is what you're saying.
You're anti-art. You're also just a little bit of a hater.
All right, listen, I'm going to have to live with that commentary. But it is interesting, and it has given me at least something to think about.
Makes you think.
In a different way. All right, let me ask you this question before we get to the reader questions, and that is, sure. You've covered a lot of politicians now, yeah, as in your role as SB Nation's political ace. What are good questions for politicians for a reporter?
I think it's got to be something that you have to be able to get out of your mouth in under 3 seconds. If you want to talk about Assad's commitment towards the rebel side or the ISIS side in Syria, guess what? You've already bored all of America. It's got to be something fast, like Donald Trump, are you going to get rid of porn? Ben Carson, would you abort baby Hitler? It's got to be something that somebody can listen to and answer within 3 seconds, or else you've lost the millennial, the attention span that all the young kids have these days. So with Trump, I've got a lot of interesting theories about the guy. I wanted to ask him about chemtrails at the last election, but I couldn't think of a way to ask that question in under 5 seconds. And so I let it slide and I asked him about pornography instead. And I think that was probably a better call on my part.
One of the things it seems to me is that political commentators and political questioners are very straight-laced. They're so buttoned up down the middle. You have always professed and quite frankly been proud of the amount that you consume, the amount of alcohol you consume perhaps before an interview or before writing. Would you suggest that the political writers and commentators of today maybe be a little bit inebriated either prior to hosting debates or prior to asking questions in the spin room?
So any room can be a spin room if you've had enough to drink before. That's what I always say. I don't recommend them doing that because then they'd be stepping on my toes, and that's my beat. I own the drunk beat, and I'm proud of that. And I've clearly staked out some markers around that space for myself. So if I smell alcohol and anybody else's breath in the spin room, guess what? There's going to be trouble. And, I might not start it, but I'm going to finish it.
Is Jeb Bush an elite candidate?
Jeb Bush, low energy. He was carrying around turtles in his pocket today, talking about slow and steady wins the race, which I kind of respect that. It's like the John Kuhn of candidates. He's not going to outrun his blockers. He's going to, put his head down and get north and south. But if you're going to be carrying around stuffed animals in your pocket, I don't think that's the key to winning the public opinion. I think Donald Trump is head and shoulders above everybody else, not to talk about like whatever kind of shampoo that he uses, because I don't think he can't use like human shampoo. But I think Donald Trump's got it. He's got it in the pocket. I think there's nobody out there that's going to beat him. But I do have some interesting theories on him that I'm going to be unveiling in my next column. I'm going to be down in South Carolina, I think, next week at the Republican debate.
All right, we'll look for. I have one more political question for you, and that would be, who do you consider the more elite first spouse, Melania Trump or Bill Clinton?
That's a great question. I think that either one of them would be an instant sex symbol in the public eye. The only thing I'm concerned about with Trump is her husband. He's going to go from never ever having a boss before to having like 310 million bosses, which could be like a major time suck when it comes to the reporting structure of America. So I don't know how she would be able to handle him being away from her all that time. Clinton, on the other hand, knows what it takes. I think if somehow we could figure out a way to get Bill Clinton married to Donald Trump, like a gay marriage, I think that would actually be the optimal presidency.
That would certainly be an interesting duo. All right, one more question from me, and then we'll go to some reader questions. Okay. Also, my producer, Bette Marston, has some questions as well. And that is, who are the sports media people that are go-to for you every morning? Who are you reading the second you wake up in the morning to get kind of a sense of what the day ahead holds for us?
That's a great question. Obviously, when I wake up, I've already got First Take on DVR. So starting at about like 11 o'clock, I rewatch what Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith had to say. Big fan of, obviously, your Clay Travis's. Me and Clay actually hung out a while back in Vegas, had a great time with him. Big fan of – so Terry Bradshaw, to me, is the guy that I listen to the most on the Sunday morning conversations because I sympathize with him. I've also had shingles. And it was I'm dead serious, Rich. Don't laugh.
I apologize
at me.
For people who have had shingles, I know it's hell, so I apologize.
I had shingles and it was hell on earth. So if you're listening out there, get the damn shingles vaccine. Because it is really the most painful thing that I've ever experienced besides listening to Mike Carey try to explain whether it's a catch or not a catch. So yeah, I like the Clay Travises. I like the Jason Whitlocks. I like the pretty much anybody who's on Fox Sports 1. I know you take a shit on them a lot, but Colin Cowherd has very strong takes. Skip Bayless is a must read for me. Greg Easterbrook used to be, but now he's got a little too smart for his own good, I think.
Listen, SB Nation obviously is a place. It's a destination place, and people want to work there. But given how much love you've now given for FS1. Mm-hmm. If an FS1 manager comes and says, listen, PFT, we'll give you $400,000 a year to move your takes to our platform.
Instantly, I say yes.
You say yes instantly. Okay.
For $400,000, I could – well, I'll tell you this much. If you gave me $400,000 a year to do takes, I would probably be dead within 6 months. But you would have 4 months of the craziest, strongest takes you ever heard in your life, followed by 2 months of incoherence as I slip into a coma.
All right. But
you know what? Maybe that's just who I am. Maybe I'm a YOLO kind of guy, and I'd rather live fast, die hard, and leave a good looking corpse. I'm kind of like a Jim Morrison
or James Dean. All right, Jamie Horowitz, if you're listening to this podcast, and I know you are, PFT commentator available. All right, let's take a very quick break so we can pay some bills, and then we will be back with Bette Marston's questions as well as reader questions for PFT commentator. Back after this. So how did your fantasy football team do this year? Season-long leagues are history for another year, but on FanDuel, you can play for cash all the way up to the Super Bowl. You can also start a listener league to compete with your friends. Now when you play on FanDuel.com with our code MEDIA, M-E-D-I-A, your first tournament is risk-free. That's any contest offered on FanDuel at up to $10. If you win, you keep the money. If you lose, they will refund your account. FanDuel is the best place to play one-week fantasy football. Building a team is easy and fun. Just pick your players and stay under the salary cap. Entry fees start at just $1, so there's a league for everyone. You can also play basketball and hockey on FanDuel. That means you can play fantasy sports for cash on almost any night of the week. Think you know fantasy football or fantasy baseball? Fantasy basketball? Come prove it at FanDuel.com. To get started, go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code MEDIA and sign up now. Here's an offer. If you enter a league and you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. That's any contest you want up to $10. You can sign up on FanDuel.com using my code MEDIA, then make a deposit, choose your league. If you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. The only way to get this no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, and use my code MEDIA. FanDuel.com, where it can finally pay to be a fan. That's FanDuel.com. Try it out today.
Hey, Richard.
All right, we are now back. Yes, PFT.
I just wanted to say, like, I've got a better answer to who my influences are because I had the break to think about it for a second.
Please go ahead.
So, I mean, really, yeah. Okay, Skip Bayless, that's number one. Lincoln Chafee is my man. And then the guy that wrote the good parts of the Bible, the parts that I believe in, he is probably a close third. And then the 2 months that Rush Limbaugh was on NFL Live or Countdown.
Yeah, Sunday Countdown, right.
That rounds it out.
All right, that's those are, I mean, that's high quality pickings. All right, listen, Bet, I'm going to ask reader questions, or would you like to ask your questions first as we'll do this live?
Go ahead and ask reader questions because I may have the same question.
Hey, Bet.
Hey, what's up?
So,
how are you?
All
right. This is Bet. This is not a singles bar. Let's let the questioning begin. Captain Lou at Captain Lou on Twitter asks, "How would Cam Newton have handled Benghazi?"
Well, I think Cam Newton would have done what he does all the time to Ted Ginn and force him to drop the ball on it, just like Hillary Clinton. Cam Newton throws passes too fast. And he throws them a little bit too accurately, considering how bad his receivers are. So he causes Ted Ginn to drop a lot of those. And Ted Ginn's, you know, he's running the wrong route. How is he going to be expected to catch a ball that's thrown where he should be? So, obviously he's going to drop the ball. I think that that Hillary obviously dropped the ball. So if you put Hillary and Cam Newton and traded spaces with them, I don't think that you'd see a big difference in how things turned out.
This from at Murrow ER. If Bill Belichick could be any animal in the world, what would he be and why?
I think it's pretty obvious that Bill would be a cheetah. And if you asked him if he was a cheetah, he would be lying. Hey, Richard, do you get that?
I do get that. Yeah, that's good. If this from B_minimalist. If a player forgets to bring his lunch pail, can he still be considered a hard worker by succeeding without a lunch break?
If he skips his lunch break, you mean?
Yes, if he skips his lunch break. Bet, are you all right? Brett's going to break down in studio.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And if you need two meals before noon, then if you eat two meals before noon, you don't really eat one. So, yeah, you could have a breakfast, and then you could practice and do your two-a-days and then just double down on dinner, which is what I usually do. I got fruit flies in my house. Sorry, they're just buzzing all around me right now.
Didn't eat your bananas fast enough.
I don't have any fruit in my house.
Oh.
So how do I have fruit flies if I've just got like some open natty lights sitting around?
They like those too, I hear.
It's an interesting question. All right, Ray.
I'm kind of going a little far afield here. I'll let you get back to it.
All right, Ray Parrish asked, do you feel you are stretching yourself too thin as a journalist covering both the NFL and the election?
I think definitely. I think that this has been the most trying season that I can recall on my liver. I think that probably I need to narrow down my focus a little bit. But you know what? When they asked Jesus to narrow down his focus a little bit and not necessarily go into the temples and harass the money changers at the same time that he was bathing people's feet, what would have happened if Jesus had said, you know, no thanks. I need to make sure that I'm just focused on what I do best, you know? So I take a lot of my inspiration from Jesus Christ. So I'm going to continue to do political stuff and NFL stuff.
Trey Abejas, Abejas, asks, if marshmallow peeps screamed at you when you ate them, would you enjoy them more or less?
I don't know what the hell that means. What is a marshmallow pea?
I believe it's a candy, Bet.
Yeah, they're like Easter themed. They're basically marshmallows that are cut out in the shape of a baby chick, and they're colored, and they're often seen around Easter time. Also, secret tip about peeps, if you put them in the microwave, they expand to like 100 times their size.
Wow.
Like, are we talking like a Shrinky Dinks type phenomenon there?
Yeah, close to that. But
so if they were to scream while I ate them,
would you still enjoy them?
I'm just going to say that, you know, sometimes chicks scream when, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what I'm getting at here, Rich.
I see the path you're heading to.
Connor
O'Sullivan asks, if Kim Jong-un liked football instead of basketball, would there be world peace?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I like that.
So this is the guy that just detonated like a fake H-bomb.
Hydrogen bomb, correct.
If he liked football instead of basketball, would we have world peace? I would say no he likes basketball. So who did he bring over there? He brought Dennis Rodman over there, right?
Right.
I'm gonna flip the script. Yes, we would definitely have world peace because if he liked football instead of basketball, the football equivalent of Dennis Rodman is probably Bill Romanowski. So Bill Romanowski would go over there and he'd kick his ass six ways to Sunday. And by the time Bill hightailed it out of North Korea, Kim Jong-un would probably be singing the Star Spangled Banner and listening to Lee Greenwood. So, yeah, I think that we definitely would have world peace if it weren't for the military basketball complex of the mid-90s that exported that game overseas to North Korea.
By the way, this is guest 37, Bet, and that's the first Lee Greenwood reference we've had. So that's pretty exciting. 37 guests in.
It's kind of sad for you guys.
Yeah,
it
does say something about this show. Phil Clayton asks, does HGH make you better at doing commercials? Because Phil Clayton, of course, believes that it worked for Peyton Manning.
Listen, I don't want to get into the HGH scandal because Phil Nance has already agreed that, you know, he's not going to say anything about it.
Was that Phil? Did you say Phil Nance?
Phil Sims and Jim Nance.
Right. I like how you combined the two. Right. They are the same person sometimes, so I understand that.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm of that same mindset. If Phil Sims isn't going to talk about it, then I don't think it's newsworthy. So I don't want to cast aspersions on Peyton, even though he probably did a shitload of steroids.
Wow, that is a big charge.
That was one of my questions. I was going to ask you if you think Peyton Manning
HGH. Well, let's say for the show's purposes, first of all, that's a charge made by PFT commentator, not by the Sports Illustrated Media podcast. And I think that's I think you sort of have, don't you have to back that up with a little bit of evidence, PFT?
Well, I would say that he probably did a lot of steroids in between the months of September and December every year for the last, 13 or 14 years. If you're going to sit here, are you trying to tell me that Peyton Manning did steroids in January, Rich? Because if you're trying to say that, I think that I've got a lot of evidence that can disprove that.
Will we be seeing this kind of investigative reporting on SB Nation in the future?
Yeah. I've given a lot of consideration to maybe, doing a couple cycles of steroids and just seeing how my accuracy improves and all that.
That's kind of hard. That strikes me more as a Players Tribune kind of thing piece as opposed to SB Nation, though, no?
I'm kind of on an exclusive deal at SB Nation right now. If the Players Tribune wants me to contribute for them, if you're out there, Derek, I know that you're going through your own HGH thing right now.
Wow.
I'd be happy to discuss that with you for my fees are reasonable.
Well, the lawyers are going to be interested in this podcast, Bet. All right, we've got a couple more here, PFD. Do mm-hmm. you think from Eric, who goes by the handle of Curly99, do you think JJ Watt gets it?
That's a good question. JJ Watt gets it a little too much, I would say. I don't know if you're familiar with my reporting, but I did an investigative piece on just like the many, many links between J.J. Watt and Adolf Hitler. And
I think I missed that somehow.
Okay. Well, I did. It was a scholarly researched piece that had a lot of good citations and showed a lot of similarities. So for example, J.J. Watt is good friends with Rich Wagner from their times in college together. You know who else was a big fan of Richard Wagner? That's right. Hitler was. So J.J. Watt also lives in a cabin in his hometown or overlooking his hometown in Wisconsin. Do you know who else had a cabin overlooking their hometown?
Abe Lincoln?
That's right. Adolf Hitler did. So the one thing I used to think that he got it too much, but now that he's gotten his cast taken off his hand and he can thank the troops in front of cameras twice as fast and twice as efficiently. I think that he's right where he needs to be going into the playoffs. And, if there's one thing about JJ, he's consistent. And I think that the Texans will do a great job of losing in the first round of the playoffs again.
All right. We're going to finish this interview up with some direct hard hitting questions from producer.
I got one more question.
Bet Marston. All right, go ahead before Bet finishes this interview up. Cause we
how
know
much,
PFT,
how
we
much
were,
bench press?
How many times are you talking about one, like max out, or are you talking about like reps?
What's your max?
I'm saying my max is 364.
That's bullshit, Rich.
That's true. That's not even close. I don't know what my max is. I'm going to say 210. How's that?
That's also bullshit, Rich. did you ever play football?
I played, in like youth leagues, but not after like, the junior high level.
Okay, yeah, sounds about right. Okay, yeah, go ahead. What's your question?
Bet, go ahead.
I got a question here from Mike Nadeau on Twitter. Which fictional football player would you consider the grittiest?
See, they want me to say Rudy.
Yeah.
That's where they're obviously going with that. But I'm going to say the racist guy from Remember the Titans.
All right. That's fair. I got asked this question. I got this several times on Twitter. Will Joe Flacco ever be elite again?
Well, he won a Super Bowl, so you kind of have to put him in that conversation. I don't think that we'll ever really fully understand whether or not Joe Flacco is elite with the science that we have in place today. I think that we're either going to have to invent some new metric to evaluate him with, or if he wins a second one, I think that that puts him in the Eli Manning category of definitely being possibly elite.
All right. Do you believe in participation trophies?
Absolutely not. In fact, when James Harrison railed against participation trophies, I was the first person standing on a table to say, well, guess what, James? You're talking about – you got into a fight with your ex-girlfriend about whether or not to baptize your own child, and baptism is essentially a participation trophy for getting born. Like, you get into heaven – just because you're born, you can't get any more participation trophy than that. So, like, I would put myself even way farther to the side of anti-participation trophy than James Harrison even is.
So are you going to give the youth football team that you coach, are they going to get participation trophies?
No, absolutely not. They get, you know, if they're lucky, they get pepperoni on their pizza and they get tap water. That's it. If they win the championship, then I'm going to let them go to the runner-ups trophy presentation and maybe, like, you know, throw some water balloons at him or something like that.
All right. My last question for you. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Who do I think is going to win? I think it's got to be – I think the Redskins are going to win, which would, you know, finally get the PC police off their name, because there's no chance that their name could be racist if they can win a Super Bowl. So it's either going to be the Redskins or possibly the Patriots, and I hope that the Patriots just cheat their way all the way to the Super Bowl and obviously cheat during the game. And we have another. So here's what I'm really hoping for. Mm-hmm. I hope that they cheat their way to the Super Bowl and that the next appeal trial about Deflategate happens the day before the Super Bowl, so that we can keep talking about this for the next, like, year and a half. And then I hope that, so if I'm the Patriots and we go to trial the day before the Super Bowl, then during the Super Bowl, you better believe I'm going to cheat my ass off, because there's no chance in hell that they would have the balls to catch me cheating the day after that trial. And that's what I hope happens. I think that would be good for the sport and good for takes.
All right, PFT, we are ending this on this question because we know you're busy and you have a lot to do. If you were an NFL personnel director, general manager, would you take a flyer on Johnny Manziel?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? So I've been at the forefront saying that Steve Sarkisian needs to be seriously considered for the head coaching opportunity in Cleveland. Either him or what's his name, Price, the former head coach of Alabama. Somebody that can really have that sort of man-to-man relationship with Johnny and they can understand each other. I would definitely take a flyer on Johnny Manziel, especially if I'm the Dallas Cowboys.
And we may see that happen. All right, PFT Commenter is a NFL contributor as well as the chief political correspondent for SB Nation. He hosts the Steam Room on Opie Radio. In this podcast, he has mentioned numerous people from J.J. Watt to Lee Greenwood. I believe there was even an ad of Hitler, multiple references.
Yeah, so if I could jump in here,
sure,
real quick,
go ahead.
Explain why I reference Adolf Hitler.
Right.
It's because, like, no offense to the American public, but especially people that read sports columns, but they're not smart enough to understand, like, shades of gray. So I either like to compare things to Jesus or to Hitler, just so that they can know, obviously, what I'm saying, like, Jesus is on the good side and Hitler's on the bad side. So I try to compare things to one of those two so they can understand what's good and what's bad. That's
Where,
why I do that.
You mentioned earlier in the podcast Socrates, good side or bad side for him?
I think that Socrates can go both ways.
I respect that. All right, PFT Commentator has been the guest. He's really, truly become a force in the sports media and certainly in NFL circles. Before we let you go, PFT, is there anything else you want to add? Because we're up against the clock here, and we promised to get you out of here before 40 minutes, and we're going to keep that promise.
Yeah, so I just like to say that a lot of people get on me for spelling stuff wrong sometimes online, And I just like to publicly state for the record that spell check is a crutch for the weak. If you can't tell the meaning of what an author is trying to say unless it's spelled perfectly, is it really that strong of a take to begin with? Like, is it worth your time to read that? Basically, Richard, if you were to insult an article that I wrote because I spelled stuff wrong, when you've got the I before E thing wrong, like right in your name, you know, that makes you a hypocrite. So I just like to say that spelling sucks and isn't important and nobody cares about it.
All right, listen, that's a good way to end this. A take on spelling, which we have not had on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. All right, the guest has been PFT commented. Bet, you seem like you want to say, I have a beautiful out here and you say you want to say something, so go ahead.
He also had a knock on your last name, which is great.
Yeah, I bet. I picked it up. Thanks, Bet. I woke up early this morning. PFT commenter is the guest. He's been a fantastic guest. We don't know when he'll be back, but we hope he's back eventually. PFT Commenter, thank you so much for joining us on the SI Media Podcast.
All right.
This week, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talks to Dave Zirin on the Edge of Sports podcast from Panoply. With his legendary NBA career as a backdrop, Kareem has emerged in recent years as a forceful cultural voice, writing for outlets such as Esquire and Time Magazine. For the full hour, Kareem goes deep on his experience at the intersection of sports and social justice with stories of Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell, Gil Scott-Heron, and others. So it's The Edge of Sports with Dave Zirin. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and at theedgeofsportspodcast.com.
All right, back in the studio after our thanks to PFT Commenter. Dear Lord, let's hope we don't get sued for that podcast, Bet. But who knows?
Here's
the thing. This guy is a really, really good satirist. He kept in character for the entire podcast. We told him we would interview him, understanding that he'd be in character. He didn't blink. So he's really, really good and sort of quick on his feet. And he's very funny. I mean, he did not know the questions that we had prior to the podcast, and he was on point a couple of times. I really love it when he's very serious and earnest about like other sports media people and their columns. It's just really funny to me, you know, hanging out with Clay Travis in Vegas. Skip Bayless is my idol. It's really good stuff.
His obsession with Danny Woodhead too. Like I feel right, like yeah. that's. I mean,
Woodhead. We didn't really get into that much, but you know the Flacco Woodhead. McCaffrey.
I didn't even
who
ask
is it?
About
John Kuhn. Isn't that one of his guys?
Yeah. Obviously he's known for his misspelling, and I was right. You know, I should have been like, so how long does it take for you to misspell things? But I feel like that he gets kind of, I don't know, maybe he gets tired of talking about that.
Well, the one thing that's interesting is, you know, SB Nation at a certain point, right, put the disclaimer
up top.
Yeah, because clearly there were too many people who thought that they didn't have copy editors and they weren't checking the spelling, which is kind
if
of awesome.
You care more about the spelling than the telling, then this is not for you.
That's right. I love that. Spelling sucks. It's fantastic. All right, that was good because we're not going to have another guest like that in our
I mean, there's not another podcast. There's not another PFT comic.
You said there's another satirist, though, out there, right, who you really like.
Fansense 09. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Fansense 09.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Fansense 09.
I have no idea who that is. All right, so we thank PFT, and we'll definitely be reading his stuff from South Carolina. He's very, very funny when he goes and talks to
goes
politicians.
Political, yeah.
All right, let me thank the people I have to thank, Bet. Dan Bloom at Panoply for leading the charge on all these podcasts. Ben Eagle, the in-house guru of podcasts for SI. Ryan Hunt and Paul Fichtenbaum and Chris Stone for their continued support as management at Sports Illustrated. Want to thank some of our previous guests, the last couple, Sage Deal, Gus Johnson, Chris Haynes, Jamie Traina, and I'm trying to think with Diana Moskovitz of Deadspin. Coming up on this podcast, we will have Troy Aikman of Fox Sports as a preview for Fox's NFC Championship. Jay Williams of ESPN Bet is going to be a guest. I don't think I told you that, but he's got a book coming out. He'll be a guest. Gab Marcotti finally coming in February, and we'll figure out the rest of the lineup later on. All right, my thanks to the great Bet Marston for producing this podcast and for asking questions of PFT Commenter. I'm Richard Deitch. We'll see you again on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.